All right, well, let's go ahead and start with this legislation that would raise fines for not wearing seatbelts.
Well, that is a Haslam administration initiative from the Department of Safety in particular. Safety Commissioner Bill Gibbons says he sees this as part of an overall strategy to lower Tennessee's traffic fatality rates. Right now, Tennessee usually has around 1,000 traffic fatalities per year. If it was on a per capita basis, the national average, it should be about 800. The seatbelt fine now is $10 on first offense, $20 on second offense with no court costs. The bill would more than double that to $25 on first offense, $50 on second offense. It moved out of committee with only a couple of dissenting votes. It's not wildly popular, but most legislators seem to be willing to go along.
How is the rest of his legislation faring, with the exception of his school voucher legislation?
Well, his school voucher bill is sort of still laying there, of course. The rest of it is moving along fairly comfortably, or he hasn't started all of it yet. I suppose his most important bill from his perspective this year, outside of the state budget, which hasn't moved yet either, would be the Tennessee Promise bill to provide community college scholarships for 2 years to all kids free. And that's still awaiting its first step, but it's probably coming up this week.
Well, something else that's moving around in the legislature, I'm not sure where it is in the Senate. We've heard from the House Local Government Subcommittee. It's legislation that would end forced annexations. Can you explain that a little bit?
Right. Well, forced annexation is where if your house is outside the city limits right now and the city decides it wants to annex your subdivision, city council can now pass an ordinance and suddenly you are part of the city. You're brought into that. It's called annexation by ordinance. This bill would outlaw that. Just say you cannot do it. The sponsor, who is Representative Mike Carter from down in Ootawah, says Tennessee is one of only three states that still has annexation by ordinance. His bill would require a local referendum of all impacted property owners and residents of an area to be annexed to approve before there could be an annexation. It's got like 70 co-sponsors in the House, so it's a popular topic. That's been around for a while now.
How about in the Senate? Does it have the same kind of support in the Senate?
It doesn't have the equivalent of 70 co-sponsors, but it does have fairly broad support. The Senate Speaker Pro Tem, Bo Watson, is the sponsor of the bill over in the Senate.
You mentioned there's some legislation having to do with campaign funding.
Yes, we have a couple of interesting bills for political junkies on that front. One is by Bill Dunn of the State House, who has proposed that we put limits on the amount of money a candidate can loan his or her campaign. As you may know, Supreme Court rulings have declared you cannot limit how much money a person gives their campaign, so millionaires can spend as much money of their own as they like. But Dunn has an interesting approach of saying you can't loan your campaign more than $100,000 per election and pay it back. And it also prohibits paying interest. Ergo, if you want to give your campaign $1 million, fine. But if you want to loan your campaign $1 million, and then, as some candidates like to do, then pay themselves back after they win an election, you can't do that. The maximum you can loan your campaign is $100,000 under Representative Dunn's bill.
Why did he introduce this legislation?
In other states, he says, people have actually loaned their campaign money and then charged the campaign interest at, say, 18%. To pay themselves back, so they are making money on what they gave their campaign. The classic situation is you loan yourself money before the election. After you win, then you go to the lobbyist, special interests, and PACs and collect a bunch of money they're happy to give to a winner, and then you pay yourself back. That's the practice that I believe this Representative Dunn is aiming at here.
Does that happen a lot?
In Tennessee, it happens occasionally. Phil Bredesen, for example, as governor, loaned his campaign about $3 million, so he could have started collecting money and paying himself back. He wound up never doing it, left office, and wrote the loan off. Governor Bill Haslam now has about $3.5 million loan carried on the books. He could, in theory, start raising money and paying himself back. He has not done that. That's moved through a couple of committees in the House and seems to be rolling along.
Let's finish up with this this primary elections bill.
Yes, that's been debated a bit in Tennessee over the years. We do not have runoff primaries or general elections, for that matter, now. The Senator Stacey Campbell and Representative Joe Carr had a bill that called for starting runoff primaries in Tennessee, except last week Joe Carr transformed that bill by amendment with Senator Campbell's consent into a bill that says it's basically aimed at stopping or reducing crossover voting, where a Democrat, for example, would go and vote in a Republican primary. The bill basically now says that anytime you go to vote in a primary, you first say, check on a box says, I want to vote Democratic or Republican primary, one or the other. Below that, there will be a statement. By checking it, you attest that you are voting in the primary that best represents your values and beliefs, I believe is the way it's stated.
Is that legal?
I suspect so. The law now says that you have to be a bona fide member of a party or supporter of a party before you can vote in a given primary. That is rarely enforced. It's difficult to enforce. Tennessee has, it's pretty much an open primary system. This is aimed at sort of tightening that, and I suspect that'll be, would be uphill.
Tom Humphrey is the Nashville Bureau Chief for the Knoxville News Sentinel. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Chrissy.